Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast. Here with your hosts, Jacob Smedley,
Justin Reedhammer,
John Bonte,
and Nathan Romanot.
With today's special guest,
Joey Rinaldi.
Our topics today include the NFL draft is just a few days away. We'll have our full breakdown of the top 10 picks, including some specialty picks with our favorite teams a bit later on. But first, guys, let's get into some NBA playoff action. Sam could not make it to this week's recording, but guys, we're starting off with the NBA playoffs. The seed, the play-in tournament just finished up this past week. Some seeds decided, some places decided. The Philadelphia 76ers locking up the seventh seed in the Eastern Conference, taking down the Miami Heat, who proceeded to beat the Chicago Bulls to earn the eighth seed. The East playoff go as follows: the number one seeded Boston Celtics against the number eight seeded Miami Heat, the four and the five, the Cavaliers and the Magic respectively, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Pacers 3-6, and the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers 2-7. On the flip side, in the Western Conference, the New Orleans Pelicans, after losing to the Lakers in the first game, beating the Sacramento Kings in the second play-in game to earn the eighth seed. They're matching up against the number one seed Oklahoma City Thunder. The 4-5 matchup, the Clippers and the Mavericks for the third time in the last 5 years. Then the Timberwolves and the Suns 3-6. And the Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers, another rematch in the 2-7. Guys, first, I guess I want to ask, any matchups here that really, really cinema and you guys are tuning into right away for all of these games?
I mean, right off the bat, I guess, in the West, I think the Clips-Mavs, I think that's an exciting matchup. I know a lot of people, you know, I think are sleeping maybe on the Clippers. They won game one at home without Kawhi Leonard. This series has potential to go seven games. Star power all over the floor. Kyrie and Luka on one side. And then you have, you know, Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook, you know, four Hall of Famers on the other side. So I think that that's going to be a fantastic series.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Nate. I mean, that's a series that I'm really keying in on. But another one in the Western Conference that I don't think's talked about enough, because of course you have the Nuggets and the Lakers with all the headlines and the Western Conference Finals rematch, is the Timberwolves and Suns. Yesterday, I know this will go up Tuesday, Wednesday, it'll be multiple days after, but the mean mug for Anthony Edwards right in the face of Kevin Durant, I mean, it really shows almost a passing of the torch here between the Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, the way he was getting buckets, the way that team was flowing. I mean, they may have finished as a three seed in the standings, but I'm very interested to see how those Minnesota Timberwolves do. They had the best defense in the league. They have a star in Anthony Edwards that can score at all three levels. I mean, the disrespectful poster to John Collins a few weeks ago was just unreal. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they make some noise, especially past the first round.
Yeah, 100%. I could see them taking that series. Correct, you'd have to tell me, do you know if Kat, is he back? I know he was hurt.
I believe he is, yeah.
Okay, he is back, which is huge. I mean, huge for Minnesota. Obviously going up against Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. I mean, another star-studded lineup. With the Suns, my concern with the Suns, I think a lot of people's concerns, is their depth. I don't think they have a lot of it, which makes this series that much tougher when you have, you know, those young guns, especially Anthony Edwards on the other side of the court. So, yeah, that's another great series in the West.
Yeah, and moving over to the East, talked about all those matchups, Nate, but one that I'm looking at so far, of course, you have the Celtics seed, talking about the Lakers Nuggets, another conference finals rematch, the Heat, having the Celtics number over the past few years, but with Jimmy Butler out, really going to be tough for them in this series now, already down 1-0. But I'm looking at that Knicks-Sixers game, and being a Philadelphia 76ers fan myself, and but also a fan of basketball. You have Joel Embiid. The health is really unknown at this point. Jalen Brunson, who's been averaging close to 30 points per game this season, one of the best Knicks teams we've seen in nearly 2 decades. What are your thoughts on this series right now? The Knicks up 1-0 after a come-from-behind win at home, where a lot of their role players really shaped up. If Joel's not at 100%, Nate, I don't know if there's a good path for the Sixers at this point.
I'm a little worried for the Sixers purely based off of Joel's health. I mean, there's a scary moment in game one with his knee when he landed, where he left the game. He did come back, but he's always had health problems throughout his career. We know that as Sixers fans, especially, they seem to, you know, become more burdensome towards the playoffs, of course, which is a shame. The Knicks are a great, great team. I mean, they're playing great basketball this year. Jalen Brunson, like you said, has taken the next step. Listen, if Embiid was healthy, I'll put it at this. If he was fully healthy, I would have faith. I think the Sixers could win this series, especially with Julius Randle not in it. With his compromised health, I just don't think the Sixers have a path forward. I think they could get it maybe to 6 games, 7 games, maybe. But I think the Knicks are going to be able to pull this one out.
There's nothing taking away from the Knicks. They're a great squad this year. But I want to highlight, I mean, Tyrese Maxey. Talk about a kid who's really stepped up throughout the entire season, has shown a lot of growth through the entire season, has scored stunningly, put up stunning numbers in the scoring position, has provided rebounds and assists to other players. Like, I mean, I just, like, want to give a kudos to such a young player, even though, like, your star stud in Joel Embiid has been suffering through ups and downs of injury.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Peter. And Maxey, I think, is one of my X factors in this series. And in looking at his production, he scored 33 points in the game one loss. For me, it has to be the whole game. And the whole issue with going back to Embiid is not to get on a whole Sixers tangent here, but, I mean, he has to play well in the non-Embiid minutes. I think it was a minus 19 with Embiid off the floor. That is the same script every single year with the Sixers in the playoffs. When Embiid is not in there, they get pummeled. When Embiid wasn't in there in game one, they got pummeled. The Knicks either tied it or took the lead and extended that lead. So in those minutes, when Embiid's off the floor and Maxey's in there, he has to take advantage. He's got to earn his money, if you kind of know what I'm saying. He's getting his contract soon, so that's where he's got to earn his money as a young player. So we'll definitely see how that plays out, that series plays out. And another one, of course, talked about the Celtics Heat. Celtics on paper, better team. It's going to be really tough for Miami to pull it out. But guys, I mean, the Bucks and the Pacers in the 3-6 matchup, I mean, that one's going to be a battle, I think, for both of these teams.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a tough first round series for both squads. You have a young Pacers squad led by Tyrese Halliburton, who has been phenomenal this year. And then you have the Bucks, who, you know, they made that big preseason, you know, trade. They got Dame Lillard on the squad to pair with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Things have been shaky, I'd say, over the course of the season, you know, firing their coach, bringing in Doc Rivers to kind of lead the team. Has it really worked out? Not probably as well as they would have hoped, but they're here. They are the 3 seed, and they're playing an inexperienced Pacers team. The only unfortunate thing is, much like the Sixers, their big man is having injury issues. Giannis didn't play game one. I don't know if he's slated to play the next game or not. I'm not sure. So without him, it's going to be tough. But Dame put up some very important numbers tonight, some very big numbers to get them the series lead. I think if Dame can play like prime Dame time Lillard, I think the Bucks can squeak this one out and get Giannis back maybe to make a push. So that we'll see, but you got to bank, I think, as a Bucks fan on Lillard coming up big in this series.
Yeah, had a really big game number one for the Bucks in hopes to take down the Pacers, who really owned the season series. Well, guys, as we wrap up this first round conversation, looking ahead into the next round, we'll keep it at the conference finals for now. We'll come back before the finals to break it all down in our predictions on each side. But right now, which two teams are going to be matching up in the conference finals for the East, and which two teams are going to be matching up in the conference finals in the West?
I
know it's early.
Yeah, it is early. I will say I think the East is a little bit easier to see the path to see who's going to be in that conference final. Boston, I think, is a lock. I mean, I really do think that they're a guarantee. They are the best team, not only in the East, but in the NBA with the superstars they have. And then it's tough. I think I'm going to go Milwaukee to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think the path is going to be tough for them. But if Giannis is able to, if they're able to, you know, steer the ship while Giannis is out and he comes back, you know, maybe reinvigorates the team, I think that they can make the push to Eastern Conference Finals. On the West, Denver, defending champions, I think will get there. And I'm going to go, you know, I think I'm going to take the Mavericks, though.
Interesting, Nate. I agree with the Celtics. I think that's a firm agreement there. I'm looking on the other side of that bracket, and I am looking at the winner of the Knicks-Sixers getting to the conference finals. I think the winner of that...
That's fair.
The Bucks, you mentioned it earlier, that they haven't looked good. The Pacers, they play at a specific pace, and if they're not playing at that pace, they are going to have a tough time, especially against a Knicks or Sixers team that plays very good defense. I'm going to say the Knicks, just because of the health of Joel Embiid in the first round. I think it's going to be Celtics-Knicks. Some chalk action going on 1-2 there on the East side. And on the West, I agree with the Nuggets there. I think the Nuggets are going to represent the West there in the conference finals. But I'm feeling the youth. I'm feeling Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I know it might be off their timeline, at least at this point. They really overachieved finishing with that one seed. But they can hoop. And they got very good young players. Chet has really come into his own. And that would be a thrilling matchup, Shai versus Jokic. We'll have to wait and see how everything plays out. Justin, did I keep it short? It's over to you with some football and the top 10 picks.
Thank you, Jacob. Guys, I can't believe we are already nearing the end of April. And with the end of April comes, of course, the event that we all wait for every year, the NFL draft, where we find out what college players are going to be drafted into the NFL and become the next potential superstars or the next busts. So, with that said, let us start off with the first overall pick in the NFL draft for 2024. The Chicago Bears will 100% no doubt select quarterback Caleb Williams out of USC. If you don't think so, you might have dementia. Just saying. Because they trade away Justin Fields. They build up their offense. DeAndre Swift. They got Keenan Allen now. They've been building the offense around just these key pieces. They shipped away their quarterback. It's time for the new face of the franchise. And they're going to pick the number one prospect, Caleb Williams. It is no doubt here.
I think we're all in agreement with this one. I mean, I would speak for everybody here, but I'm kind of... I know you guys can't see on as you're listening, but I'm looking at a bunch of nodding heads right now. I mean, Caleb Williams, he's going to be the first overall pick. He has proven himself to be the first overall pick in the quarter. And like Justin said, the Bears need to... They're building up four quarterbacks. They've been searching for an answer for a quarterback for a very long time. I mean, I even remember when, like, back in the days where they were still struggling to find quarterbacks even before, like, maybe when we were younger, like, in middle school and elementary school, like, they were struggling and struggling and struggling, and now they're hoping, like, Justin Fields didn't work. And then now they're like, all right, let's try Caleb Williams out for a try, see if he can bring any kind of success to this franchise. And I think they're desperate for it at this point.
I remember Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler.
Yes,
the last time.
I was
thinking the name.
Jay Cutler.
You see the nodding head right there with you, Peter. Caleb Williams, I think. We've even discussed on this podcast some of the weird antics, the weird draft combine stuff that he's doing. But Bears are gonna select him. This is their cornerstone guy. And the upside is there. I think he's a great pocket passer. I think he's going to struggle with some decision-making early on. He's going to have to try figure out defenses. But as you mentioned, Justin, it helps that he has talented skill position players around him to start. We'll see. But I think it's a great pick for the Bears.
I don't think you could take anything away from Caleb Williams. I mean, former Heisman winner, arguably could have won a second one. You know, he's always in the talk. I mean, just in 2023, he's had 68 completion percentage, 3,633 yards passing, 30 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. I mean, stats say enough here. I think he's more than capable to take the reins here in Chicago.
Yeah, definitely. Like we said, it's clean sweep. It's Caleb Williams. He is the future of the franchise there in Chicago. They passed on Mahomes for Trubisky a few drafts ago. They're not going to make the same mistake. They're going to take Caleb Williams, the number one overall quarterback prospect.
Well, let's pump the brakes there, Nate, because number two for the overall pick, Washington Commanders, I have selecting Jaden Daniels, the reigning Heisman winner. Potentially could also be a Patrick Mahomes as well. You don't know. We'll find out in 5-10 years, but you never know. The Bears could be making the same mistake twice, and the Washington Commanders are going to capitalize.
I don't know if I'd go as far as to say that that's that detrimental of a mistake between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. There's a big difference between those two players, just the way by their playing mechanics. I do agree that the Commanders select Jaden Daniels. They haven't really had an answer out. Also, haven't had an answer at quarterback. And they also have some offensive concerns with wide receivers. I mean, you do still have a valuable Terry McLaurin, very very valuable receiver. Don't get me wrong. They shipped away Curtis Samuel in the offseason, who in my opinion was a pretty good slot receiver. He provided really good separation on the offense. I think that Curtis Samuel was a bit of an underappreciated receiver for that team. But I do think that the Commanders needed a fresh start at quarterback, and hopefully Jaden Daniels can be the answer for them.
I just want to say, put some respect on Jahan Dotson's name. You completely forgot about him in that
yes, sir.
Lineup.
Yes, sir. Preach.
I think this wide receiver lineup actually has the potential to be someone somewhat really good with Jaden Daniels. Again, Jaden Daniels, 72% completion rating, 3,812 yards this past season, 40 touchdowns on 4 interceptions. I think with two great wide receivers, and Scary Terry and Jahans, you know, I think he has potential to do really well there.
Yeah, I think keep the agreement line going here. I think it's Jaden Daniels, and I think he's the kind of quarterback that Washington needs. I mean, Sam Howell, he got Drake May in the fold, but the way Jaden Daniels really showed out in the combine and showed his skills, not only as a passer, but also as a runner with his mobility last year at LSU, I think he adds that layer, maybe some shades of RG3 pre-injury that could bring back to Washington the explosiveness. I think this is a great pick for them to finally get that quarterback that can, you know, start to match up against Hurts, Jones, and Prescott in that division.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Jaden Daniels here at number two. A little surprised that Justin was heaping so much praise on him. You know, Justin not a big fan of the dual threat quarterbacks in the NFL. But I do believe that he has potential to be a standout star at the position. You know, some would compare him to Lamar Jackson, another one of Justin's favorite players in the NFL.
I just want to point out, Nate, that Josh Allen is a dual threat quarterback, so
that's true.
Not really sure where you're getting at there, but yeah, let's get the agreement train going here with the third overall pick in this year's draft. The New England Patriots, I have selecting quarterback Drake May. They just shipped out Mac Jones. The experiment there is over. Time for something new. Hopefully, as a fan, it doesn't go well for them, but hopefully Drake May doesn't fall into the same pit that Mac Jones does.
Yeah, I mean, I'll keep this short and simple. I agree. Drake May is their next selection, and I hope they don't ruin him like they did Mac Jones, because there was a lot of hope for him once they drafted him. Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers, and oh, you know, he's our answer, but it kind of tanked on him. So hopefully Drake May does not tank like his predecessor did.
All we can do is hope, can't we, Peter?
Well, I mean, I know I'm not a Patriots fan, so.
Obviously, but I wouldn't mind if the Patriots, you know, sucked for a few more years.
Like 20.
For all those years of Super
Bowls.
Yeah,
20 years.
It's what they get for all those years of Super Bowls.
I also have Drake May Drake May going here as well. It's kind of next one up on the board, you know, the next best quarterback. You can put an argument maybe for J.J. McCarthy, but I think Drake May put better stats up. All in all, and I think I hope he does well in New England. It's going to be tough there, considering they have a lot of rebuilding they still need to do. So
yeah, guys, are we looking at the Division III safety that Bill Belichick is going to draft there at number three instead? I feel like we should have that down on our draft boards. But I agree. I'm keeping it rolling with Drake May, and yeah, I think this is you know a turning of the tide. New England's not usually used to this, picking at the top, high in drafts, trying to find that quarterback. And yeah, Drake May at times looked really good for North Carolina. At times he struggled. I think he's going to go to New England and get in that kind of like system that New England has built and try and be that next guy. Of course, you have the GOAT status of Tom Brady and no quarterback for a really, really long time. You've seen Mahomes can match up with that level. Drake May cannot have that pressure on. Just got to go out, be himself, and I think he'll be a really good quarterback for the Patriots.
Yeah, no surprise here. I am in agreement. Drake May, number three overall to the New England Patriots. As I believe Joey mentioned, though, J.J. McCarthy, I mean, hey, he had his Zach Wilson moment, so who knows? Maybe we have a reach from the Patriots on him, but if it were me making the decisions, I would be sticking with Drake May on this pick.
Yes, well, unfortunately, we're not making the decisions.
No, we are not.
There will be some mistakes on the draft day, but we won't find out till years later. However, we will find out that at number four, the Arizona Cardinals will select wide receiver Marvin Harrison out of Ohio State. It's their top need. They are looking for a guy that can catch the ball for Kyler Murray, and it's going to be the best, most NFL-ready receiver in the draft.
Going to throw a curveball at you. I'm calling for a trade here at the number four pick. The New York Giants are going to swap picks with the Arizona Cardinals, and I have that the New York Giants are going to select J.J. McCarthy, quarterback. However, if this does not happen, I am in agreement with Justin, in which they will select Marvin Harrison Jr., but based off of research and other things that I've been looking at, I've seen a lot of predictions and analysts saying that they're predicting that the Giants are going to be heavy pressers for trading to that spot so they can snag J.J. McCarthy early on. I mean, I think it's a good move for both teams. If the Giants can get J.J. McCarthy, that'd be great for their team. Have a young buck down there out there in quarterback. However, for the Cardinals, if they can get Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, he's shown for himself what he could do. His talent speaks volumes out on the field. So either way, I think it's a good pick for both those teams.
Yeah, I think, Peter, you bring up a very interesting point. I'm going to stick with Marvin Harrison going to the Cardinals right now. I did not include any trades, even though that is a very interesting move there, Peter. I wouldn't even be surprised if the Giants move up just to select Marvin Harrison, just because of their need at wide receiver as well, him being the most talented in the class, even though there's a lot of depth. We'll get to a few of the other very talented wide receivers in just a second. Very interested, Peter, with your point about McCarthy, though, and I'm sure we'll get into it with a few of the picks later in the top 10, but there were some teams there, 11, 12, 13, that need some quarterbacks, that are maybe desperate for that next quarterback, so might see them jump up into that top 10 with trades for McCarthy, for Drake May if he falls. But going back to Harrison, Maserati Mav, as Gus Johnson likes to say, I mean, phenomenal last season. And the kind of jolt that this Cardinals team needed offensively, offense really, really bad last year. They need a spark like this.
Yeah, the Cardinals are looking at a really great route runner here in Marvin Harrison Jr. He knows how to pick apart those defenses. I've seen it happen. I know Ohio State didn't win, but Michigan, he was all over that defense, all over the field. Not only that, Penn State's defense, he knows how to get around the field. I've seen it in person. It sucks. It really does. I think they got a really good guy here, and I think it could really help Kyler Murray to open up the field a little bit more, open up the playbook a little bit more. I think they got a good guy here.
Yeah, I'm in agreement here with you, Joe, Jake, Justin. I think that for the Cardinals, this should be a no-brainer. Go out and get the best receiver available in the draft, and that's Marvin Harrison Jr. As we said, you know, fantastic route runner. He has the speed, the agility, the athleticism to really be a cornerstone, franchise receiver, which is something that the Cardinals have really been lacking since Larry Fitzgerald, retired. So I think that the Cardinals, I think that they need to go here. I mean, trades, you could entertain a trade. I could see it potentially happening. But again, I don't think the Cardinals should risk losing out on Maserati Marv, as we like to call him. So I think that they'll stick at 4 and they'll go Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I think I can see it going either way, personally. I mean, I can see the merit in trading back because there's so many talented receivers. You get an extra draft pick as well. But I'm not going to project the trades. However, a lot of people are projecting a trade for the number 5 pick, which I will briefly mention. But before I do, I just have the Los Angeles Chargers selecting Romeo Odunes, the wide receiver out of Washington. I think that he's a great fit there. Very Mike Williams-esque. So I think that he will fit right in to that offense. However, a lot of people have the Minnesota Vikings trading up in this spot to select J.J. McCarthy. So if the Giants want to be proactive, they might make that trade with the Cardinals.
So I mean, I could see it happening. As I mentioned before, I initially predicted the Giants are going to trade up. However, if the Chargers stand at number 5, I agree they will grab Rome. Sorry if I'm going to butcher this, but Odunes. I think that they're going to take him if they stick at that number 5 spot. However, if the Vikings were to trade up, they could grab J.J. McCarthy. However, I'm looking at my draft list here, and you know, I'm still looking at guys like Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Like, there's still other quarterbacks on the board. Sure, not as renowned as J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. I still wouldn't say, Drake May, but I still wouldn't say they're not bad quarterbacks. They're still first-round picks, in my opinion. So if the Vikings decided to stick in their spot, I still think they would have a chance at guys like Bo Nix and Michael Penix at that time. So I'm going to stick with the Chargers staying at number 5 and selecting Rome Odunze.
Yeah, so I think the Chargers have a lot of decisions to make here before the draft. I mean, they just had the exit of Keenan Allen to the Bears, you know, trading that number 1 wide receiver away, you know, going to probably need to draft a wide receiver. A lot of questions here, but ultimately I think there are enough wide receivers in the draft that you can draft one a little bit later. So that's why I do have them trading away their pick to the Minnesota Vikings, and the Vikings would then pick J.J. McCarthy, their future quarterback. It's tough to say, though. I mean, again, the Chargers have a lot of choices because they, too, could also just draft, you know, Washington's wide receiver, as you said. But I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I think it. You guys really hit the nail on the head. It's very an interesting situation. I don't have trades in my mock draft, so I'm gonna say the Chargers, the 2C teams back to back. The Chargers. I'm gonna go wide receiver. There's also Malik Nabers there out of LSU. I think while maybe Odunze profiles, as you mentioned, Justin, more to a Mike Williams, I think Nabers is more of that prototypical Keenan Allen replacement in terms of his shiftiness, in terms of his movement through routes. I think he's a good guy to have next to Justin Herbert in terms of a check down option in this new Jim Harbaugh scheme that they're running. If they do stick with the pick, one of those two options is great. As you mentioned, Joe, is a loaded wide receiver class, so definitely could see them moving back, especially if both of those guys still available. Take those chance with some QB needy teams.
I'm right on board with you here, Jake. I mean, I definitely could see this pick being traded, as you said. This is a deep receiver class, a lot of talented wideouts available. However, I'm not projecting trades in my mock draft, and I do believe that if they stick at 5 and select a receiver, I'm going with Malik Nabers as well out of LSU. Very fast, you know, speedy guy, you know, playing with Jaden Daniels. He had, obviously, a lot of receptions, a lot of yards last year. I think that he is a... It would be a fantastic weapon for Justin Herbert. Obviously, as we've said, you know, lost both of his top two targets this past offseason. So they definitely need a receiver. I definitely could see them trading back to one of the QB needy teams, as we've already talked about. But if they stay at the five spot, I have them taking Nabers.
Well, it's interesting that you both mentioned that, because at number 6, the New York Giants select wide receiver Malik Nabers out of LSU. I see them as needing a wide receiver a little bit more than a quarterback at this point, so I think they pass up on J.J. McCarthy and go with the next best receiver in the draft.
Earlier on, I predicted that they would trade up and grab McCarthy. However, if that all does not conspire and everything stays the way it is in order, so I'm going to take the trade out of consideration and say that the Giants are selecting at 6. I do agree with Justin. I think that if Odunze does not go the pick before to the Chargers, it will be Nabers or vice versa for those teams. Both are very good receivers, and like we've all mentioned numerous times, this receiver class is so deep. I mean, you got guys like Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy. You got so many good picks from wide receiver spot that it can go deep. So I would say Malik Nabers would be my choice for the New York Giants if they do not decide to trade him.
I think I agree with Justin. I think Nabers is the right choice here for the Giants. They really need a wide receiver, and they're already locked into Daniel Jones anyways on contract, so going to have to probably use him for another year. Giving him Nabers, I mean, could hopefully make him play a little bit better. Not that I think he's a franchise quarterback or anything, but he's who you got, and hopefully Nabers can just make that offense, who was very, very bad last year, a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with wide receiver. We got 3 quarterbacks, 3 wide receivers, at least in the non-trade projections here. I'm going to go with Odunze, because mentioning Nabers going to the Chargers, both are very explosive in different ways. Odunze profiles as more of a bigger wide receiver, high point on the catch, in that Mike Williams archetype we mentioned earlier, and it fits a similar way to Darren Waller, a guy that can high point the ball. You need those with a guy like Jones who can let it fly, throw those contested balls, and I think Odunze is going to be a weapon on the outside. Maybe a little shades of Brandon Marshall. Those kind of big wide receivers that the Giants need. And yeah, but it would be very interesting to see them go with McCarthy. And in that situation, almost Carson Wentz-esque, where you draft that QB, you still got that big contract, but just waiting it out for the young quarterback. But I think they go wide receiver here.
Yeah, I'm in agreement here with Jake. I think that the Giants will go receiver, and as I already have Neighbors off the board to the Chargers, I believe Rome Odunze will be that guy. Again, a fantastic receiver. Played a huge role in the Washington Huskies' march to the national championship game. He was absolutely fantastic this year. And, you know, after watching him play against Oregon twice and beating Oregon twice, I can say he is definitely one of the best receivers in the draft. I'm just gonna make a statement here. All this talk about McCarthy, you know, honestly, I think he's a little overrated, and I think it'd be foolish if the Giants picked him. I'm going to say it right now. You got a guy in Daniel Jones under contract. I don't know if he's going to be the guy, but you paid him all that money, so you can't give up on him yet, in my mind. You can't go high on a guy like McCarthy. I just think it'd be a foolish pick. I think that they should go receiver here. Give Daniel Jones somebody to throw the ball to. See what he does this year. If it doesn't work out, all right, next year, you're back at the drawing board. Maybe go for a quarterback then. I don't see it this year. I think it'd be foolish.
I was listening to you talking there, Jacob, and you mentioned the three quarterbacks, three wide receivers. Big offensive draft this time around. Very different from last year, and you know, which was all defensive. But let's keep the offensive train going with the number 7 overall pick. The Tennessee Titans are going to select offensive tackle Joe Alt out of Notre Dame. They had a terrible line last year. Really just not good. And if they want Will Levis to win some games for them, they are going to need to protect him, and that's where they invest this pick.
I mean, the O-line for the Titans was terrible last year. I mean, Derrick Henry can barely run. Will Levis had little to no time to throw the ball. I could see them drafting Joe Alt. However, I also could see them pursuing another big target in Brock Bowers, at the tight end position. You have Treylon Burks out there. You got DeAndre Hopkins out there. You got Calvin Ridley out there now due to the offseason. Why not add in a young stud tight end for a good target for Will Levis to have? I mean, Brock Bowers is a physical guy, but he can catch. He can run routes really, really well. I think he also provides a good blocking element for longevity plays. So if they do not pursue Joe Alt, I would not be surprised if he saw the move for Brock Bowers.
I think I'm going to have to go with Justin on this one. I think Joe Alt is the right move here. Looking at the Tennessee's offense, I mean, just got Calvin Ridley, great addition. Got to give Will Levis the opportunity to throw the ball, and especially since you're not going to have that run game to rely on anymore as much with the exit of Derrick Henry. I think it's a great idea to beef up this offensive line, give Will Levis the opportunity to make those throws.
Yeah, I'm going to make it 3 here. Sorry, Peter, not joining your side.
No, I thought that they would pick. No, wait. Don't let me be wrong. I think they're going to pick Joe Alt. That was my initial selection. I didn't say they weren't going to pick him. I said I wouldn't be surprised if they pursued Brock Bowers.
Okay. All right.
Don't be putting words in Peter's mouth.
I won't do that again. I do like the alternative pick. I really do. Because, again, going back to a broken record conversation we've had on this podcast about young quarterbacks, you got to surround them with talent. And they've done that at the wide receiver position. They've done that with Pollard now at running back. I would not be surprised if they picked Bowers, if somehow Alt was off the board or some, you know, concern started to happen, as we've seen with a lot of these guys on draft day. But yeah, I'm going with Joe Alt, one of the most proven tackles in the draft out of Notre Dame. As you mentioned, the protection is huge, and also a run blocker, and really set the foundation for a guy that can be an all-pro in the coming years. That's how good he is.
Mark that down as another unanimous pick. Here on the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast, I have Joe Alt, offensive tackle, going to the Titans as well, as you guys said already. Their offensive line was horrendous last year. They need to improve it. If they want Will Levis to develop into the quarterback they believe he can be, like, he's already got the targets at receiver in Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. You need to protect the guy. You got to go with the best available tackle, and that's Joe Alt.
Let's move on then to pick number 8, the Atlanta Falcons. They took care of their quarterback situation, so what now? Well, they're going to select edge rusher Dallas Turner out of Alabama. Their defensive line just did not get the job done last year. Too many guys were staying upright and completing passes, so it's time to put them on their back, and who better to do it than Dallas Turner?
It's a good thought. It's a good pick. I did not have them selecting Dallas Turner. I actually did stick on the defensive side of the ball, but I have them picking cornerback Quinton Mitchell. I think that he would provide a good coverage for that team. I think that the Atlanta Falcons, like we mentioned before, has handled the quarterback situation in Kirk Cousins. I think he's a good interim quarterback for them right now. We'll see what he could do there for a year or two, and if he succeeds in that position, great.
You mean 4 years.
Now it's time. Sorry, 4 years, correct. Sorry. But now it's time to shift the focus on the defensive side of the ball. And the Falcons last year didn't have a terrible defense. So if they could keep building up on that defense, and especially that coverage, especially when it comes to the long game, where those quarterbacks can cover the longer routes, in which they were beaten a lot last year, where those plays were extended, I think that Quinton Mitchell would be a very beneficial player for them.
I agreed with Justin again on this one. A common occurrence there. Me and Justin might have the same sources from what it seems like. But how I like to think about it is that defense starts at the line of scrimmage. You know, that quarterback's not going to be throwing that ball if you have a guy like Dallas Turner on the edge getting the quarterback almost every play. You know, I think he's the guy that could be able to do it. I think he can help this defense tremendously, make it so much better than it was last year. Really getting the pressure to the quarterback, making those ill-advised throws, keeping them in longer games and that sort of thing. I think it'd be a great choice for them.
Yeah, I'm going to say Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama. I mean, just an unprecedented agreement so far from all of us on all of these picks. We swear there was no coordination beforehand, at least not with me, with some of you guys with this draft board. But I think Turner would fit great with the Falcons. They need to address that defense with new coach Raheem Morris. I think he does a great job doing that. They need pressure. They're going to be a team that, very similar to the Rams with Raheem Morris as the defensive coordinator, going to live with that defense, of course with Cousins on the offensive side. But would not be surprised if they went O-line as well to protect Kirk Cousins. You got the O-tackle out of Penn State, Olu Fasanu. Apologies if the pronunciation was wrong there for him. But wouldn't be surprised if Ord is still available and they take him with all the mix-up that could happen above him.
Like we said, guys, we swear there was no collusion going on prior to the making of this episode. But I also have Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama, going to the Falcons. As you said, defense wins championships, let's be honest, guys. And they were not able to get to the quarterback that well last year, so bringing in a guy like Dallas Turner is definitely going to help out on that side of the ball. And with the acquisition of Kirk Cousins on offense, they don't need to fulfill that need at quarterback anymore. I think that they're going to focus on the defense. I think they'll go Dallas Turner.
All right, now with pick number 9, we're back up with the Chicago Bears. And with Caleb Williams taken, they got to start picking guys that they can harvest organs for him, you know? They got to get these lower priority guys, right? All joking aside, though, they got a big need at the edge rusher position, and I think they fill it with the next best, Jared Verse out of FSU. I think that they need to start putting opposing quarterbacks on their back, and let's see if you guys are going to agree with me this time.
I do see the Bears going on the defensive side of the ball this time. Jared Verse, I mean, if the Falcons don't select Turner, obviously I think it'll be a vice versa kind of thing. But yeah, I think the Bears go Jared Verse here. They need to pressure the quarterback. They haven't done that well last year. They didn't do well the year before. The defense is very choppy. It's very inconsistent. So having somebody in that edge position who could provide a lot of pressure to the quarterback would help that team out.
This is the first time I think I will be disagreeing with Justin and Pete on this one. I think we're going to stay on the offensive side of the ball here. With a new quarterback coming in, I think it's important that we make sure to give him the offensive line that he needs to perform well, to the best of his abilities. So I can see them taking the best offensive lineman on the board here. that's available. Either going to be Olufashanu or Talist Fuaga, guy out of Oregon State. Yeah, just beef up that offensive line.
I don't know where to take it from there. I don't know where to take it, but I will take it with a completely different pick than the three of you before me. I'm going to go into the defensive secondary, guys. Peter, you mentioned him moments ago. I'm going to go Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo for the Bears. They just gave that big contract to Jalen Johnson. They did a great job in the secondary late in the year last year. I think they add to it. Trying to go through that Seahawks blueprint from the past few years with drafting these very explosive corners high in the draft and molding them into game wreckers. And I think the Bears can do that. They got some pressure on the quarterback. I feel like they could use another pass rusher, as you mentioned, Justin. But I think Quinyon Mitchell, another guy on the other side of Johnson that can lock down an opponent's top receiver.
Jake, it breaks my heart to say this, but this is the first pick that you and I are not together on in this mock draft. I'm sticking with Justin. I'm going with the local boy shout out, Jared Verse. He played his high school ball at Central Columbia, for those who did not know, which is about 20 minutes away from Danville. So pretty awesome. I think that he will be selected second best edge rusher in this draft. Planned fantastic at Florida State. Like you said, I think they need to go defense with their second pick, the Bears. And I think that while they could go secondary, I could see it happening. By all means, I could. I just believe that they'll go with Jared Verse.
All right. Now let's talk about a team that I hate. The New York Jets, guys.
The Dolphins. What? The Dolphins?
Close.
The Jets. The
New York Jets, guys. What was their biggest problem last year? Their quarterback only played for four plays. And why did that happen? Because their O-line sucks. So, with that, they are going to select guard Troy Fonatu out of Washington. I think they need to beef up the interior because that's the kind of pressure that gets you running to the outside and in the back of an ambulance before you know it. At 40 years old, Rodgers can't take too many more hits.
I mean, I agree with your breakdown there. Rodgers needs protection. If we're going to fault the O line for that accident there, not the turf. Yeah, I agree. I see the New York Jets go for an offensive lineman. However, I do not agree with the selection of the person. I say they go with J.C. Latham. I think that he will provide really good coverage for Aaron Rodgers. Don't get me wrong, Troy would also do a good job providing coverage. However, I have J.C. Latham going above Troy.
I think that it'd be a good idea to go wide receiver here, personally. I have Roma Dunze being available at this time. Hopefully he is for the New York Jets. Giving another wide receiver to Aaron Rodgers could be very helpful. I think having someone alongside with Wilson could be a very good duo. It's not something that they've had yet. With Wilson, I think having two really good wide receivers on the field could help them move the ball a lot better. And as long as Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy and play to the performance that we're all expecting him to play at, I think this offense could be very successful next season.
Yeah, I agree with your guys' sentiments with offensive line. I think offense is the pick. They address the pass rushing with the trade for Hassan Reddick from the Eagles. Their secondary is there. Their defense was one of the best in the league and really kept them in a lot of those games last year. I'm going to stick it on the offensive side. Peter mentioned him earlier. I'm going to go Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. I think here's a spot for him as a weapon, another weapon for Aaron Rodgers. What has Aaron Rodgers thrived with? Of course, with great wide receivers and some wild takes on the internet, but with excellent tight ends in Green Bay, with Mercedes Lewis, with some of those other guys that really were dependable for him as checkdowns over the middle. And I think that they get a cornerstone guy here with Brock Bowers that, as Peter mentioned, block, catch passes, take pressure off of guys like Garrett Wilson and the rest of the receiving crew.
Yeah, I'm on the same train of thought here. Offensive side of the ball, I think they will go out and get another weapon for Rodgers. You know, you only have Rodgers for so long. You need to, you know, give him the max amount of weapons you can for him to be able to perform at his highest ability. I think that they're going to go out and draft Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, another fantastic LSU receiver coming out of there, that school, who has quickly become wide receiver U. But, yeah, I think they could go O-line. I could definitely see that argument. Obviously, the O-line, not great. But I think it's about maximizing the time you have with Rodgers. Again, he's not going to be there long. You got to kind of just, you know, give him as many weapons as possible, I think, really, for him to be fully utilized. They have Garrett Wilson, fantastic receiver. They did get Mike Williams. Mike Williams, though, his health has really been a big issue over the course of the past few seasons. So you don't know how reliable he is. I think they'll go receiver. I have Brian Thomas Jr.
All right. Now with our top 10 picks out of the way, it's time for everybody's favorite part of the segment. Picking your favorite or just a team that's interesting to see what they're going to pick. Of course, I'm going to slide all the way up to pick number 28 for my favorite team, the Buffalo Bills. I have us selecting wide receiver Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. I think he's probably going to be still available at this time, and even if not, there's a potential that we trade up a few picks for him. He's just going to be one of those really talented receivers, and with Gabriel Davis and Stephon Diggs leaving, that is the number one concern for Buffalo. They need a target for Josh Allen to throw to, and I think he's going to be fantastic in that role.
Now, Justin, I just want to provide a little pushback before we move on. Any thoughts on a secondary pick? Because I know there's rumors. Cooper DeJean in that, Kool-Aid McKinstry, if he falls, would you be interested in the Bills taking either of those guys for the secondary?
Of course I would be. I mean, as you know, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer also parted ways with Buffalo as well. So we're going to need some safety help. We, of course, have Taylor Rapp back there, and we're going to have Damar Hamlin as well. But any help really is helpful, and so I would not be opposed to see a secondary pick here as well, wait for a receiver in the later drafts. Of course, the class is loaded, but it's whoever the best player at the time is, and if Adonai Mitchell's there, I'm not sure the Buffalo's going to pass on.
I'm going to go with the Eagles. I know Jake's probably going to go Eagles as well, because there's many options that the Eagles could do. Howie Roseman, you have been cooking lately. Don't f*** this up. You have so many options. But I have the Philadelphia Eagles trading up to pick 16 with the Seattle Seahawks to select cornerback Terron Arnold out of Alabama. The Eagles need so much secondary help. Getting back C.J. Gardner-Johnson was huge. He's a great safety, but here's the thing. Darius Slay battled injuries last year. The secondary constantly getting blown up by wide receivers. And some may say that it was the fault of the defensive coordinator last year, because, and I will also say that I did not agree with a lot of the defensive calling in situations. However, that is not an excuse for how many times they were blown up in coverage. They need a young buck out there. And who better than Terron Arnold to get that job done?
All right. I think I'm going to jump in here with the Steelers at number 20. There's a few things I could see them doing here. I mean, we got a lot of new faces in Pittsburgh, whole new quarterback room with Russell Wilson.
Good luck with that, by the way.
That's right. Steeler country.
Anyways, we're going to see how that goes. Unfortunately, we already only have one wide receiver right now in George Pickens. I could see them go wide receiver here, but I think it's more important that we follow in suit what we did last year and just keep on buffing up that offensive line. I think his name's Graham Barton, is a center from Duke. I think this is a great choice to get that middle of the offensive line really structured, because I think we're going to be running the ball a lot again next year with Najee Harris. Obviously got that running back duo. I think it's important that we buff up that offensive line, because I think we're going to be running the ball a lot again next year. Not to say that we're going to pass the ball much, but with only, again, George Pickens, it's going to be interesting next year.
Very, very interesting picks so far, guys. Really, Really liking the stuff, Peter. I'm gonna go on the Eagles here. I'm looking at another team that we've discussed on previous drafts. So I'll get to in a second. But the Eagles, I very interested in that pick from Arnold. Just listening to sports radio here in Philadelphia, there's been conversation about Cooper DeJean, who I mentioned about the Bills a few minutes ago. A guy that's versatile, that fits the mold of other guys like Avante Maddox and C.J. Gardner-Johnson that the Eagles already have, can play all over that secondary. I think that they need to get a secondary member. I think that's key. You mentioned the age with a lot of these guys. They need someone that can provide that youth. And I'm going to go, instead of DeJean, I'm going to go with Mr. Kool-Aid McKinstry there at number 22. Kool-Aid's going to be a sweet addition to this Eagles defense. I really like his game on the outside, a guy that can learn under Darius Slay. I know, you know, Bradbury's that you can get a guy in there that can start, that can play, but also has these veterans that he can, you know, pick their brain. And they really love the Alabama, the SEC connection. So either Arnold, if they trade up for him, McKinstry, I think they're going to make it a point to get that. But the other team that I'm looking at, and we've kind of talked about it, I know Nate will get to his team, but another team in that division, the Las Vegas Raiders, picking at number 13, very interested to see where they go. I know we were talking about J.J. McCarthy earlier. I think we mentioned the Giants, but the Raiders are a team, I think another one that, depending on how that's going with the QBs, I could see them moving up inside of that top 10 to 6 to 5 to one of those spots to try and grab their next QB in J.J. McCarthy.
I will be going to the Raiders' division rivals, my team, the Denver Broncos, as we all know. I'm going to say it, Russell Wilson, you broke my heart. You were a bum. Now you can go play crappy football in Pittsburgh for the Steelers. Listen, we need a quarterback. It's plain and simple. I don't really think we can trade. I mean, trade up, we don't have much to offer. I'm not going to lie. So I think we're pretty much stuck at 12. In that spot, there's a certain man there who I believe will be available. This is a man who I have watched play college football over the past couple seasons. This is a man who I think can represent Broncos country well. I think he would be a fantastic addition to the team. I'm talking, of course, about the one and only Bo Nix. Now, he played fantastic for Oregon over the past two seasons. Very disappointed how his final senior year went with this past season, not being able to quite get to the playoffs, but he put up amazing numbers all season. He was in the running for the Heisman. I believe he finished second or third. I'm not entirely sure, but I mean, the stats are there. The experience is there. He is older, you know, 23, 24 at this point, but you know, he has a lot of in-game knowledge. He really knows how to read the field well. He doesn't take too many risks. He plays it very safe. So he doesn't turn the ball over a lot. I think that he is a guy who, you know, Sean Payton could maybe take under his wing, develop into a very solid NFL quarterback who can lead a team. Again, we need a lot of parts there in Denver, but you got to start at the quarterback position. And I think they'll go Bo Nix. I have faith in him. I have faith in him.
Now, what Nate, what would you do if they picked Michael Penix Jr. from Washington? Going from the rival. The rival. The rival. To
listen,
your favorite.
Listen. I will say that is true. I have a lot of respect, though, for Michael Penix Jr. He had a fantastic season as well for Washington. You know, really just stepping up to show out for the Pac-12's final season. So a lot of love for those guys. But listen, I'd be disappointed. Like I said, I'm a believer in Bo Nix. I think there's some concern with Penix. He's had some injury issues in college. He's had a couple. I think he tore his ACL, a pretty major injury. So, you know, you don't have that with Nix. He hasn't had that kind of injury history. And, you know, I like I said, I've watched Bo Nix play. He played very well for Oregon. I think that he can, as Peter said, he is a guy that Sean Payton can take. He can, you know, work with him, mold him into that Drew Brees type of player. You know, Bo Nix, he doesn't have the biggest arm. Drew Brees didn't have the biggest arm, but they are smart. They can read the field, you know. They're patient and take their time under pressure, and that's what I like about Bo Nix. So I believe both are there. I truly believe that they should go Bo Nix. Would be disappointed if they went Penix, but I'd have to back him and, you know, support him just the same.
Big Ten legend, Michael Penix Jr. We'll see where he goes and the rest of these guys go. If the Broncos turn into Saints 2.0, if the Bills get a wide receiver they need, or the Eagles address their secondary. All the picks on Thursday and Friday's the NFL draft starts for the first two rounds and the subsequent rounds following. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Lunch Hour Sports Podcast. And thank you, Joey, for coming on for our yearly draft special. Again, for future episodes, you can listen and watch right here on YouTube and also on Spotify. For our entire Lunch Hour Sports Podcast crew, thank you for listening and tune in for another episode.